Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Moses for Zion's Poor.
The Bible is a book of contrast. The righteousness of Christ is contrary to the self-righteousness of men. The way of the flesh is at odds with that of the Spirit. Religious worship is contrasted with true worship, which is in spirit and truth. Self-love is not compatible with that love which esteems the other better than themselves. Yet nowhere is a greater contrast seen than in the two births which the Lord told Nicodemus about. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. A failure to see this contrast between a birth of water, that is, that which is natural, or of the earth, and that which is of the Spirit, or that which is from heaven, is to fail to understand the extent and nature of the work of God in those who are ordained unto eternal life. And it is to confuse that which is of the earth with that which is heavenly, and it is to ultimately miss the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It will never be anything else but that corruptible flesh in which a man is born and will one day die. This flesh is unchanged by the new birth and will continue to strive and war against the Spirit until the grave swallows it up. We read in the Scripture that the newborn sons of God are made new creatures. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. To paraphrase this scripture, we might say that those who are in Christ are not the same creation that they were by natural birth alone. They are inexorably changed, yet that which is flesh is still flesh. This new creation has to do not with the muscles and sinews of the body, but rather with the mind and or the spirit of man. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Whereas those who are now born again once walked according to the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, they are now renewed in the spirit of their mind. Their existence without this work of the Spirit of God in them is called the old man, or that which they were. The creature that they are now is called the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. These two creations are not compatible, to say the least, and it is the source of each one's power which causes the constant conflict in the believer's life, which Paul describes. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Paul explains the nature and reason for this conflict to the Galatians. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. This corruptible flesh in which we are born and do presently abide wars against the spirit of our mind, which is made conformable to the image of Christ. The man who is without this conflict is devoid of the spirit of Christ. Paul confessed, "For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For lo, the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Self-righteous men think themselves to be righteous and rejoice in the progress that they make in achieving holiness. Some call this idea progressive sanctification. The only thing that is progressive about those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb is that they are progressing towards the tomb and the glorious deliverance from which they hope to enjoy in the day of the resurrection. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices, nor of the deceitfulness of the flesh. He delights to stir up the flesh and constantly seeks an occasion therein to bring reproach to the children of God and wound their conscience. The flesh itself would seek opportunity to indulge itself without regard to the consequences. Our flesh is not a friend to the workings of our mind, which is renewed daily in Christ, and would seek by subterfuge, deception, and outright force to overtake us and bring us to shame and ruin. The sons of God dwell in perfect liberty. Nothing can bring them into condemnation or cause them to be rejected by the Father. This is a glorious position and standing, which is a great and lasting comfort to the children of God. Yet their flesh would seek to use this liberty as an occasion to bring reproach upon them by an unwise use of it. Therefore, Paul exhorts us, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." The Scriptures are replete with many exhortations and instructions to the children of God to confront that flesh which constantly wars against the law of their mind. This is why Paul says, "Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Christian liberty is not a license to indulge the flesh. Rather, it is given that we might serve one another. Are you free in Christ?
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.